Welcome back. The week you missed. How you doing? I feel like it's been a kind of calm week. Not too crazy, all things considering, but definitely crazy enough. We'll get right into it. I'm gonna tie two stories together, and then with one theme is what I kind of want to focus on. So, first story. I was just in Texas. Todd has ties to Texas. It's crazy to me, or it's funny to me that people always say like, "Oh, Texas is crazy with all the guns," because whenever I'm down there, I kind of feel safer than I do when I'm in Philly. That's supposed to be like I don't know, not a gun type of place, but Philly definitely seems to have just as many guns as Texas. But anyway, long story short, in Houston or the outskirts of Houston this weekend, there was a story of a guy shooting guns in his backyard, which is supposedly allowed in Texas if your property is big enough. And this guy does it all the time. And his next door neighbors came over and said, "Hey, could you shoot your guns on the other side of the yard, or stop because it's a little loud. We have a baby sleeping." And this guy basically said, "No, I do what I want." Got his AR, went over, shot five people. Sounds like execution style. Two kids got blood splattered on them, but didn't get shot, fortunately. But sounds like a super traumatic story. Insane. And now the guy is loose and they don't know where he is. There's a manhunt for him in Texas. So that's one story. Then the other story I want to talk about, I actually don't know too much about. I believe it seems fairly new, like today or yesterday. It's May 2nd, by the way. But this is a guy who's a convicted sex offender who was doing court the same day as this incident happened, and there's seven bodies found in his home in an Oklahoma home.
Oh,
There's
God, yeah, I heard about that.
Two teens that they've been looking for the last week. They were found at this home, and then there's five more like unidentified bodies. So here is where I'm gonna connect the two. This guy was due in court that day. The guy who killed the five people, I'm gonna mention it, but I don't think it matters. He was an undocumented immigrant. Doesn't matter. Anyone in America, like one, the people who were killed were undocumented immigrants too. Doesn't matter. If you're in our country, you should at least have like some protection and safety. Doesn't matter if you're an immigrant or not.
Sure.
But basically my main thing is this guy has gotten deported five times. So what I'm thinking is if this guy got deported five times and this sex offender was due in court that day, it sounds like the justice system is doing part of its job, but then it's falling through at some point and not doing its job at all. So, like, what is going on? Why are these people seem to be like known as bad people and then still able to do these bad crimes? I'm like trying to think of what a possible solution is. The main thing I can think, and I know this would never get support anything, is like if you get a if you're convicted of a crime like that, like maybe I don't think there should be as much prison as there is, but maybe there should be more tracking and like GPS tracking, number one. So like you have an ankle monitor. If a guy's deported, fucking track his ass to make sure he doesn't come back. I don't know. And then also like how are these guys, I guess, just getting access to weapons? I know it's pretty easy, but there's got to be a way to stop these people from like if we know that they're bad people, we still are letting them do crimes. Just seems wild to me.
Yeah, and this is to sort of sidetrack slightly, but not really. You know, when Trump was running for his first election, and you know, his big thing was build the wall, right? Like that was, and the thing is, it's like I talk, you know, and I lived in the Northeast, lived in Philly at the time, and there are people like, this is racist. How can people do this? Like it obviously wouldn't even work. It's such a stupid idea, da 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 da. And I always told people, I was like, look, it's easy for you to have that opinion when you've never lived anywhere close to the
To the
southern
border.
border
Right.
or to any border. But the southern border is obviously the one that has, you know, gets all the attention.
Right.
And I'm not here to say that like a wall would be a panacea and immediately stop incidents like this from happening. But this idea also that like, well, obviously a wall wouldn't work. It's like, that's not true either. It's like, it's going to be somewhat effective. There's going to be like the actual effectiveness of it is going to be somewhere between stops every undocumented crossing and doesn't do anything. It's going to be somewhere in the middle.
One little point is I believe I'm not like 100% certain or an expert at by any means, but I believe the border with Canada isn't as much of an issue because the terrain in that border is extremely hard to traverse. So like there's a lot of wild animals. There's a high risk of death crossing the Canada border, way more than there is the Mexican border. So people like might comment and say, hey, why don't they have this issue with Canada? It's because like it's extremely hard to pass the border with Canada in most of those areas, from what I've heard.
Yeah, but I, you know, look, so this is one of those things where it's like a complex issue, but it's not necessarily super complex. It's like, obviously, if we had better security at the border, I think it would be better for, you know, cutting down on these repeat offenders that are streaming back in multiple times. And again, like to my point, it's, you know, you don't see these stories as much in the Northeast of someone who is a convicted violent felon. Like, let's not joke ourselves. Like, this is not an upstanding citizen who is coming here to work and have like a good life and better themselves and send money back home. Like, I have no problem with those people. Most people don't. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you're someone who's shown to be a repeat violent felon, like, I think we could all agree that we'd either like you imprisoned if you continue to offend, or just not here. Go live wherever. But like, you know, and so I don't know, but I think it's, you know, like most things, I think politics has absolutely ruined this, because instead of talking about like a common sense thing of like, hey, if you're a 5-time repeat felon and we've like deported you 4 times, maybe we can all agree that this person shouldn't be here. And if there are common sense things we can put in place to stop people that fit that description from coming here. And like, I don't see how anyone could really have an issue with that. But I do think it's, you know, it's absolutely just wild that, you know, this stuff continues to happen. And again, I do think this is sort of a north-south divide where even like liberal Democrats that live in border states are more of border hawks than like a moderate person in the Northeast. Cause they're the ones who have to like, they see the impact, they see the issues, they see crime that is associated with it. And for right or wrong, like, and again, I'm not saying that like every person who comes across the border is like a murderer or a rapist, like Trump did, like an asshole. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we have to understand that there are negative externalities of this, that this is not a good thing.
Well, I mean, something that I don't really support it at all, but I do see how it's like, I see the point that they're making is when Texas and Florida like ships all of their migrants to Chicago or New York. And it's like, that's a dick move, but it proves their point exactly. It's like, see, you guys literally don't want the problem in your backyard. You want us to deal with it. Not to say like all these people are problems, but it's like, it's easy from New York and Chicago and LA to say, no, let them in, let them in. When it's not on your streets, not taking your jobs, I don't think they're taking jobs, but your housing, your whatever, not like any of these repeat offenders doing crimes in your city. So Texas and Florida, they're like, you know what? We'll send it up and you guys deal with it. And the response, I think, is exactly what Texas and Florida wants. Chicago goes, no, we don't want them. And it's like, see?
I will disagree that I think it's a dick move. I don't think it's a dick move because, look, let's be real. This is a federal issue.
Right.
The federal government, us as a nation, they're responsible for protecting the borders. Right. If the federal government is saying we don't want to do this or we're not doing it effectively, why is it fair to say, okay, well, the cities and towns that are just happen to be near the border have to bear all the economic brunt of this? I think, frankly, they should be basically equidistantly distributed across the US. Let's bear this burden. Because the thing is, if we did that, you'd have a much more realistic discussion about this issue.
Yeah,
because I think you're starting to see, look, for DeSantis and Greg Abbott and, you know, all these people and their crazy stunts, I do think this has opened the conversation and made people realize, like, you've got Chicago and New York freaking out because they've got, you know, a couple thousand or a few hundred or whatever it is. And it's like, there are border towns in Texas that have like 10,000 people that deal with like 20,000 immigrants coming through every like quarter, or, and, you know, it's insane. It's like they have more people passing through in a 6-month period than the entire population of their town.
Yeah.
And everyone is just like, well, it's your responsibility.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Like, well, and it's, and again, so I think it's like, this is a national issue, and I think we should bear it nationally. Like, this is, because the thing is, you also have states that have tried to say, we will enforce the border, we are going to do this ourselves, and the federal government stops them. Yeah. So you know what, even in that case, fine, fine. If you won't do it, if you won't let us do it, then help us distribute this burden. Because frankly, look, if you've got 20,000 people sitting in a small Texas border town, I guarantee they're not going to be getting as good of services as if we distributed them across. And look, I'm not like, keep families together, find out where they want to go, give them a choice of cities, but like, they're going to get better services if they're distributed out, so they're not all concentrated in one place.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's common sense.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, just the, it is absolutely crazy. And it, you know, and I think to your point about like GPS monitoring and all this, it's like, it's not, none of it's possible. Like we need more effective, because look, as soon as they, like, people cut off ankle monitors all the time, like short of literally ejecting someone with something, which obviously will never fly.
Hey.
You know, or
unless we have a man-made pandemic that we sneak it in through a vaccine.
Okay. All right. Cool your jets. But yeah, no, I think it's disappointing, because to me, like, this is one of the few areas where it's like, this 100% is the federal government's job, and they just choose not to do it. They choose not to be serious about it. I think that we could create better programs that would let far more immigrants in. I think we need more immigrants in this country, with the demographics, the
work shortage.
Yeah, with population sort of being stagnant or declining, or birth rates declining, like, we will be a more successful country by letting more immigrants in. That is a fact. I firmly believe that. But it's like, it needs to be orderly, because for the good of the people already here, it also has to be done for the good of the people that are crossing the border. It does no good if people leave poverty and just end up in poverty in America. I'm sure it's not as bad.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like, it's not good. And if we had a more organized process and better systems in place, we could create better outcomes for everyone, which is what I think everyone wants.
Yep. But probably not what we're going to get.
Probably not.
Jess, oh. What do you got for us?
Oh, man, I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. Really haven't been paying attention to the news lately, and I feel like it's been better that way.
Yeah, dude, that I don't blame you. I kind of been tuned out for the most part, too, and it's definitely, it's good and bad, because I feel like the more people who tune out, the more, like, bad people can just get away with doing wild shit. But it's also really helpful for your mental health to just check out, because I think I took, like, 2 days off from the news past couple of days. Last night, I, like, just open news, and it's like, this guy murdered, this person dead in drunk driving, this war raging, shortage of this. And right away, you're just like, holy shit. I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah, okay. I actually remember something. So Joe Biden has officially redeclared that he is going to be running.
Oh, yeah.
And the DNC has immediately come out and said there will be no primary debates, even though... which is wild, because you've got Robert Kennedy, who's a Kennedy, but he's a little bit kooky and has been, he says he's not anti-vax. When I've read interviews with him, he's like, I feel like you're anti-vax, bro. Like, definitely. I feel like, and then you've got Marianne Williamson, who is like into crystals and stuff. I'm sure you love a lot of the stuff she says, because you're all like, you know, like the woo-woo stuff. But
yeah,
you know, the thing is, I think Marianne Williamson was polling at like 14% and RFK was polling at like 20-something% when I saw, and this idea that they're just going to like write off debates and be like, we will not even consider doing this. It really shows, I think, the strategy that they're going to be employing, which is, I think Biden's going to try to do a repeat of the 2020 campaign, where he basically didn't get out on the campaign trail at all.
Well, he blamed that was because of the pandemic a little.
Of course,
right?
But he won't have that excuse anymore. So it's going to look much worse.
Yeah.
It's going to stand out a lot more. And so I think it'll be interesting to see because if nothing else, I feel like if RFK and Marianne Williamson could sort of combine forces and basically say, look, we understand we're probably not going to win, but you need to understand that we have a decent amount of support in this country and that we represent a lot of Americans and that you need to be engaging with us.
Yeah.
And I think, frankly, like, either it comes to the point where they say, we will convince enough of our voters that if you don't engage in a debate, or if you don't even pay a lip service to us, or if you don't even pay attention to us, that we will not show up to vote for you, or we will vote third party, and you will get a Republican winning office.
And that's where Trump seems to have like some powers, because the Democratic Party is just so divided, where it hurts them overall.
Well, and I just think it's very, very, I think the next 6 to 12 months, and obviously leading up to the campaign, will be very interesting. Look, I think I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think of Trump as the nominee, but the Democrats win. I think he's too toxic. I think he's just so hated. I think,
well, you know what I actually, it seems like hurts the Republican Party just in general is how much Fox is fucking up right now. Because, like, media, obviously, we could talk about that, but we're not going to bring that up now, because that'll be an hour discussion alone. But the fact that Fox doesn't really have much control of what's going on right now, it seems like media controls the minds of the people. If Fox isn't spitting out what needs to be spit out for the Republicans, I feel like that definitely hurts that party a bit. So,
well,
that's
absolutely.
The one thing I think going well for Democrats.
You know, and the thing with the Fox question is that, you know, for 20 years or maybe 30 years, I can't remember when Fox News started, but they were pretty much the right-wing news network. Now you've got OAN, you've got Newsmax, which are both further to the right to them, that really almost sort of pay lip service to, like, the QAnon crazies and, like, the really, really, really nutty right-wing people, and like the truly dedicated Trump supporters, which I'll never understand at this point.
Yeah.
And so now it's like interesting, like their influence got divided up and chopped up. And so they don't have the sway that they used to. But I think that, look, I think if Republicans could run someone that was a little bit moderate and that wasn't insane on abortion and was proposing like some sort of like middle path on reproductive rights, that they would win in a landslide. Because I think, frankly, I don't know how you can look at sort of what the country's been doing or look at Joe Biden's performance and be like, this seems great.
Yeah, like, no, that's for sure.
I don't get it. Like, look, things are going along. The economy seems to be doing well. Inflation's a little bit wacky, but like, you hear stories of people saying everything's great, this is awesome. Then you see stories of people that are like, my family is struggling. Like, we were doing fine for years, and now we're like, our, you know, quality of life and everything has changed drastically. And then you've got, you know, the war in Ukraine and everything going on and all this money going out and people in America not being taken care of. And it's like, you know, you've got there is hunger for something different. And I think, yeah, I don't know, but I think that it is interesting to see that, you know, because, you know, a big line from the Democrats and the left is threats to democracy. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Democracy is the most important thing. We need to have democracy, democracy, democracy. Completely agree. However, then when you have seemingly legitimate challengers to your presidential incumbent, you preemptively say, when we're not even anywhere close to it, to say there will be no debate. There will be no discussion. This is the person that is our nominee, which is, look, it is within the rights of the DNC to do. They are a private organization. They can do whatever they want. But it's just like, it doesn't, it's, to me, it's incongruous and it doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would be, I don't know. I think this could have the potential to really harm themselves, especially if Marianne Williamson and RFK Jr. decide to basically go with like a kamikaze type approach, where it's like, look, you either engage with us or we're just going to try to spoil this thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is a distinct possibility.
Right. I think too, there's enough like wild things that could happen before then that make all of this irrelevant. Like, if we're in a world war by then, I don't think any of this really even matters.
None of this matters anymore. That just is going to change the math so much.
Yes. And like, that wouldn't be the craziest thing. So, who knows what'll happen, but it definitely doesn't seem too great right now for either party and for us.
No, I don't think so. I'm not bullish on the political parties in America. They seem to be pointless, and like, they obviously just do not care about their constituents at all, which I think it's becoming more and more clear that the people that lead us in gigantic air quotes are terrible and don't care about us at all. They care about enriching themselves, lining their pockets, and making sure their special interests are taken care of, which I guess it's been going on forever, but I feel like it's just so much more obvious now with the level of media and scrutiny and information we have access to. So not to end on a down note, but look.
Well, yeah, I'm optimistic to go start the day now. But next week we'll talk probably about, I think I'm going to bring up the primaries in Philadelphia for mayor because right what you just said, it's just so obvious that no one even cares about the people anymore. And I feel like in lower level government, you saw more people care, but in this mayor race, it seems like exactly the same as high level. Just a lot of corruption, a lot of people who have self-serving interests and just money on their mind and nothing else. But we'll 100%. Talk about that next week. I'm going to go make the world a better place, at least do my best. I hope you do too. And
I will be trying my hardest.
Yes, sir. Thanks for chatting. Have a good one. Much love.
Peace.